Hello, and welcome to the Your Retina Independent Medical Education Consensus Video Interviews on Dry AMD and Geographic Atrophy. My name is Peter Kaiser, and today I'll review key considerations for early diagnosis of dry AMD and how to assess risks for disease progression to geographic atrophy, as well as emerging treatment options. On average, Your Retina delegates reported seeing 43 patients monthly that have dry atrophic age-related macular degeneration. Of these patients, the following averages are reported for patients to have: early in 32%, intermediate in 31%, and geographic atrophy or late in 20%. The dry AMD and GA survey revealed the panel of experts estimated an average of 29% of their patients to have GA. What would you attribute this difference to, and how does it compare to the average real-world frequency of GA in the dry AMD patient population? Well, the interesting thing is now that we have a treatment for dry, late age-related macular degeneration, we're starting to look more closely at our patients. In the past, if you weren't at an academic center that was performing research, you may not look closely for geographic atrophy. And in fact, as we're starting to look more closely at our dry AMD patients, the frequency that we see geographic atrophy is actually increasing.
GA is an advanced and irreversible form of AMD affecting approximately 5 million individuals worldwide. A recent meta-analysis showed an increase in prevalence from 3.5% in patients with early AMD aged 55 to 59 years to 17.6% in people older than 85 years in Europe. The prevalence increases from 0.1% to 9.8% respectively for late AMD in Europe. We know that the prevalence of GA varies both by ethnicity and geographic region. In fact, its prevalence is 1.11% in Europeans, 0.22% in Asians, 0.60% in Hispanics, and 0.40% in Africans.
The worldwide population is increasing. So if we compare 2020 to 2040, there will be more million of people in the world. And also we know that the risk of developing GA is related to the age. So this increase in the expectation of life and increase in the general population is why we are seeing more patients with geographic atrophy if we consider nowadays. On the other hand, probably there is another aspect that could be that we subestimate geographic atrophy before because we hadn't any treatment options. Now that we are having or we are seeing that it's coming new treatment options, probably we are seeing more in detail these patients and we are diagnosing probably a little bit more.
According to the experts, the top three choices for diagnosing a suspected dry AMD patient are OCT first, fundus autofluorescence, and fundus color photos. The 2022 EU Retina Clinical Trend Survey revealed a different order of first being OCT, then fundus color photos, and the third, fundus autofluorescence.
While responses align on OCT as the most important diagnostic modality for dry AMD, how important would you rate fundus autofluorescence versus fundus photography and why? Well, the interesting thing is that we can diagnose most of our patients with dry macular degeneration, in particular geographic atrophy, and even precursors to geographic atrophy with simply OCT, which is very easy and painless for a patient. Fundus autofluorescence and fundus photographs require more skill in terms of the photographer to get good images. In addition, fundus autofluorescence is not exactly easy on a patient, and sometimes the flash is very painful. So in general, we don't really need to follow our patients with fundus autofluorescence or fundus photos if we have an OCT. Now, it's important to understand that in clinical studies, the primary outcome was fundus autofluorescence. So that's one of the reasons why many people still perform fundus autofluorescence.
We know that the color fundus photography has been established as the gold standard imaging modality for detection of GA. However, delineation of the boundaries of the atrophic lesions by color fundus photography was not reproducible. The current diagnostic toolkit for GA incorporates various imaging modalities, including color fundus photo, fundus autofluorescence, OCT, and infrared imaging, among others. We know that the lipofuscin within the RPE cells emit a fluorescent signal, and this forms the basis for fundus autofluorescence. A classification of fundus autofluorescence findings has been developed by the qualitatively analyzing the junctional zone surrounding GA with a diffuse streaking pattern being predictive for rapid disease progression. An important drawback of FAF is that regions of foveal and parafoveal GA may not be detected because of the blocking effect of macular pigment on blue light. Using instead infrared or green light FAF mitigates against this effect. The primary outcome measure in clinical trials investigating GA is an increase in lesion area measured by FAF. The expansion of the GA lesion is not linear, with the larger lesions showing much greater growth rates compared to the smaller lesions.
Well, I think that we are all agree that the OCT is the main option for all of us because it's common to many other retinal diseases, so we are familiar with it. On the other hand, it's also because we are able to recognize biomarkers that have been directly related to the risk of progression for dry AMD patients. On the other hand, when we consider color fundus photography with autofluorescence, we have to say the same way, that we are more familiar with color fundus than with autofluorescence. But in my hands, or in my opinion, I think that it's very easy to classify patients in the same way of the risk of progression if we consider autofluorescence against or in comparison with the color fundus. So probably that's the reason why, if we are considering specifically the risk of progression, autofluorescence together with OCT would be probably the easiest way to understand the situation and the risk of progression.
Do you classify dry AMD disease stage? And if so, what grading system do you rely on? Well, there are many different grading systems, and if you get into the weeds, you can get into very intricate and involved grading systems. But really, the most important thing is, what forms of dry AMD do we have treatments for? So I really break it down to patients with early dry AMD, for which, in general, just lifestyle modification is important. Intermediate, in those patients, the ARADs and ARADS2 formulas would be beneficial to prevent progression to late AMD. And finally, those patients with geographic atrophy or late dry AMD. So by simplifying it to really three different disease states in dry AMD, it makes my decision about how often to see them, how to treat them, much easier.
Yes, of course, I classify dry AMD, and I use the Beckman classification of AMD, which was introduced in 2013. Which classifies AMD in five stages. So the first one is no apparent aging changes, then the normal aging changes, the presence only of small drusen, then the early AMD with the presence only of intermediate drusen without pigmentary changes, then intermediate AMD with large soft drusen and pigmentary changes, and late AMD that can be GA or neovascular AMD.
In terms of classification, nowadays I'm not using a specific classification. I think we really need to start to learn to evaluate this patient more specifically and to try to classify them on the risk of progression more than on a particular classification regarding only the imaging.
I hope that the Your Retina Independent Medical Education Consensus video interviews will improve your ability to effectively diagnose and manage dry macular degeneration patients and those patients with geographic atrophy in your practice. Thank you, and until next time.